A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 35. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise after 3 days. Jesus spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, Jesus turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save her life will lose it. But whoever loses her life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. Business executives, pastoral ministers, lawyers, social workers, healthcare workers, teachers, spiritual guides, and a myriad of others spend a portion of their education learning how to ask what are now called generative questions. There is a plethora of literature demonstrating the art of powerful questions. Powerful questions, we are told, open the door to dialogue and discovery. They invite creativity and breakthrough thinking. And by generating creative insights, they can ignite change. No doubt, Jesus was a master of the art of powerful questions. Jesus' questions are intended to expose the reality of the kingdom of God on earth. As Jesus is on the move with his disciples, he seizes the opportunity to open another door to the truth of his presence with them. Jesus' first question is a rather non-threatening invitation to the disciples to share what they've heard. "What do the crowds out there say about me? What's the word on the street about who I am?" The second question comes a bit closer to home and requires a more demanding self-revelation. And Jesus is saying, "So this is what the crowds say about me, but you who live with me day in and day out, who do you say that I am?" Always quick to answer, Peter responds, "You are the Christ." Now, Jesus is well aware that Peter's insightful answer does not necessarily mean that Peter or the other disciples has a clue about what being the Christ means when translated into real life. And so Jesus, the teacher, reveals what is to come in the days ahead. Peter, quick to answer, was also quick to reject Jesus' revelation of the Christ. Jesus' truth of the reality of the life of Christ so contradicts Peter's beliefs about the Christ that Peter is bold enough to rebuke Jesus to his face. In turn, Jesus' rebuke of Peter is intended to wake him up. Stop clinging to your small-mindedness, to the ways of this world. God's kingdom is about something new. It is not the way of this world. As I reflect on my own life, I can remember and identify the occasions when my conversations with Jesus were somewhat like Peter's. Quick to proclaim, Jesus is the Christ. However, it's taken me a lifetime to understand and embrace what that means and the messiness of uncertainty, contradictions, pain and suffering, violence and dyings that are part of this life. Of course, along with the great joy, peace, abundance, and love of this life. So Jesus asks again, who do you say that I am? And if you say, I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Prince of Peace, what then does that mean? And how does that look in you? Every day, we can begin again. Every day, Jesus asks, and you who claim to be my disciple, who do you say I am?